in their Gospels, but here we read, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke from the sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." What a wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's him that we will be worshiping tonight in song. We'll also be hearing a devotion a little bit later on, but glad that you can be with us this evening, and a special word of welcome to our visitors and to family and friends who may not be part of the church but are here this evening. We're glad you can join us. But let's pray together. Oh Lord our God, we thank you for this joyful moment when we can come together to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. What an amazing thing to think about the eternal Son of God, the Creator of heaven and earth, coming into this world, being born as a little babe in Bethlehem. We think of the miraculous, powerful work of the Holy Spirit in the incarnation. And we just rejoice that in Jesus Christ we have a Savior, a perfect Savior, the only Savior who is both God and man in one person. And we worship him tonight. And we thank you that he came to save us from our sins through his death on the cross of Calvary, that he rose again from the dead, that he is the living Savior. And oh, that we might know him, that we might love him, that we might serve him. Lord, bless this evening, we pray. And may you be glorified. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how the evening will be progressing is we're going to, in a moment, stand and sing our first hymn. But following that, the Sunday school will come up, and they will be giving two song items. And then we will be singing again, but the program will just follow. I think we will give you indication as to when we as the congregation will be singing. And then towards the end, there will be a devotional message. Our brother Conrad will be bringing that this evening. And after that, we will be singing a couple of more songs before we close the evening off. And please don't run off afterwards. We would love you to stay for a cup of tea and coffee and something to eat as well. So to begin with, let's stand together and sing, "O Come All Ye Faithful."
When I joined Bethany, I was at the previous carol service, so it is a great blessing to be here once again, worshiping the Lord with you this evening. And truly, what a joyful evening it is. As we come to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and worship him, to expand our lungs and to really just sing with all our heart, reflecting, I hope, what our hearts truly are saying this evening. So I do hope that it will be a great blessing, and even this time in his word, that it will be an encouragement, that it would once again cause us to remember the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ and his arrival into this world. So let us pray, and then we will consider God's word this evening. Dear Father God, we thank you for Christ, and we thank you that the Son of God would take on flesh to dwell among us, and that he would do so in humility, that he would humble himself to take on that which he had made and to dwell among us here on earth, not to be some earthly king like the kings of this world that lord it over their subjects, that perhaps abuse their power for their own purposes or have very self-centered gains to pursue. But Christ came to seek and to save the lost. That is why he was born into this world. So Lord God, as we come before you this evening, we consider Christ and we are grateful And we are thankful, Lord God, that you would send your Son, that 2,000 years ago he was born of the Virgin Mary, that he was a little baby that lay in a manger in the swaddling cloth, but that he was the eternal King of the universe, that he was the one who was subject to the worship of angels from before the foundation of this world, that he is the one who is worthy of all our praise, yet he would come to that place to save us. So Lord God, I pray, please would you excite our hearts at the thought of Christ, that our hearts would be overjoyed as we consider him, that perhaps for the first time some would come to see Christ for who he truly is. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can turn to Luke chapter 2 this evening. Luke chapter 2. We'll be considering verses 8 to 20 briefly this evening, but I will read from verse 1 of chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee and from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to a firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid her in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. In this world, everyone is looking for a Messiah. Everyone is looking for that person or that thing that will bring about deliverance. This world is a dark world, a difficult world, filled with evil and suffering and pain and death. This is a world in which there at many times seems to be no hope. But we see that mankind looks to various ways, looks to various means to find a Savior. At times it is a political leader, believing that this is a political Messiah, if this person comes into power, we will be delivered from all our trouble. Perhaps it is a financial scheme. Perhaps there might be gossip about this certain financial scheme that will set one up for life. It is guaranteed success. All you have to do is invest in this and you'll be free. You'll have no financial burdens. You'll be able to live. Perhaps there are many ways in which people consider false religions, believing that these other false religions can offer them life, can offer them forgiveness, can offer them forgiveness of their sins, can deal with the problem of evil in this world. There are many promises, many messiahs, many kings on offer in this world. But all of them fail. All of them fail to provide that deliverance that man's heart so greatly longs for and knows that they need. However, we see that even in the history of Israel, that this was the case. In Israel, the Israelites rejected God from being their king. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people in all that they say, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." God was not a sufficient king for them. They were looking for a king like all the other nations, a king that would lead their armies into battle, that would free them from the political enemies that surrounded them and hampered them and attacked them. So what did God do? Well, God gave for them a king according to their desire. And that king, as we know, is Saul, a very infamous character. But what was this Saul like? Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, it says, "There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Bechorah, son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a man of wealth. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people." So here we see Saul, the son of a wealthy man. Handsome, tall, head and shoulders above the rest, the ideal earthly king. Yet we know that this earthly king was not the one that the people needed. We know that God gave them this king as a form of judgment, in fact. We see that God told Saul that he ought to be anointed to be the king of the people. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 16, the Lord said, "Tomorrow about this time I'll send to you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be prince over my people Israel. He shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines." So he gave them this person, this king, to be prince over them because they had rejected God and wanted an earthly king. He was to anoint him, to set him apart, to make him the official ruler of the nation of Israel. But what kind of king did he turn out to be? Did he bring the promised deliverance to the people of Israel? No. In fact, he brought about greater oppression from himself. He became Israel's own worst enemy because he was not the king that God had chosen. In fact, after that, the Lord would anoint a man after God's own heart, and that would be David, who would be the youngest son of a family of nobodies, the shepherd boy, from the tribe of, he would be the runt. The father even thinking, "I don't need to, if Samuel is here to call the next king, I don't need to call that son because surely it wouldn't be him. It would surely be these other fine sons that I have." Yet he called him to be the king of Israel. But we know David was not the king. David was not the Messiah for this people. David sinned. David fell short. David was not the king that could deliver the nation of Israel from their sins, nor could he deliver them from their political opponents. There was not a king to be found that could deliver the people of God. But that is where Jesus Christ comes into the picture. We read just now about the birth of this son of Mary, who was the Virgin Mary, and how Joseph and Mary went to Bethlehem, which was the city of David, because that's where David was born and was prophesied where the Messiah would come from. And there she gave birth to a firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there's no place for them in the inn. But now you might think, perhaps Mary might have thought, perhaps Joseph might have thought. They knew the promise of God. They knew what the angel had said. The angel had told Mary that he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Perhaps at this point, they might be thinking, this isn't what we expected. A manger. Because there was no bed, there's no room in the inn where we could go. No glamorousness to this affair. No parade at the birth of this Savior King. And perhaps they were thinking this. But at the same time, the Lord appeared to a group of shepherds in the night. We see in verse 8, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. The shepherds here have an encounter with an angel, which is always a terrifying experience in the biblical accounts. Completely unlike a normal human being. They are heavenly beings, and so they are naturally overcome with fear as they see this angel. The glory of the Lord shone around them. In the Old Testament, the presence of God always accompanied by great light, which is in a sense blinding, and it displays the holiness, the purity of God's being. And so they are filled with great fear. It was a peaceful night, but in a moment, this great event, an angel appearing, the glory of the Lord, the light shining around them, all of a sudden is brighter than the day. But what does this angel say to them? Fear not. Fear not. And that is a word that perhaps all of this world needs to hear. All of this world is hopeless and lost. All of this world is in darkness. All of this world is in a state of sin, in a state of separation from God, in a state of increased decay and evil day upon day. We see it, don't we? We feel it. We see the political landscape becomes increasingly more tense. We see that the evil in people's hearts seems to just grow day by day. We never see a regression in evil. We never see things getting better, but only worse and worse. What hope is there? But this angel says, fear not. Why? Behold, I bring good news. Good news? What news is this? What good news can you bring to this group of shepherd people who are out here in the night looking after their flock? What good news could you bring that would bring joy to this people? He says, I bring good news of great joy. How often do we describe this world as joyful? How often do we describe ourselves as joyful? How often are you joyful? Greatly joyful. Well, here the angel tells them, I bring you good news of great joy. He promises them great joy is contained in the news that he is delivering to them. Who is this joy for? Who is this good news for? Well, it is for all the people. All the people that will hear this message, all the people that would hear about this good news that I'm to deliver, it would lead to great joy for everyone that hears this good news. It is indiscriminate. It is good news for us tonight. It brings great joy to souls here tonight that have heard and believed and responded to it. It promises that to each one of us. But what is this good news? Why is it a cause of great joy? Well, verse 11, the angel tells us, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now let's unpack this briefly. In what this angel told them, we see an allusion to Isaiah chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the prophet writes, for to us a child is born. We see that in the first few words of verse 11. For unto you is born, for unto us a child is born. So here we see that this fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9 is coming about here. This son, this child that would be given, this one upon whom the government would be, the one who would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and, sorry, I'm forgetting my verse. We'd be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is the one who has been born into this world, the one whose government and peace would know no end, the one over whose kingdom the one who would reign on the kingdom of David forever and ever. And so we see that there's good news because the promise that God made to their fathers was being fulfilled that very evening. A king was being born. A king who would reign forever and ever. A king who could be called Mighty God. A king who is the Everlasting Father. A king who is the Prince of Peace. Such a king was being born that day. Notice also that he was being born in the city of David. David was from Bethlehem, and Micah prophesied that the king of Israel would come from Bethlehem. And so the promise to their fathers, to these shepherds' fathers back in the Old Testament, was being fulfilled. This king being prophesied then was coming, had come. And this king is a savior. Now, I mentioned we were looking for political messiahs, financial messiahs, messiahs from the issue of death, always looking for a remedy for death, always looking for some way to escape death, to extend our lives, fearful of what comes after death. But here comes a savior. Now, what does this savior promise to do? Does he promise to bring us physical salvation? Salvation from oppression, salvation from disease, salvation from financial woes, salvation from death. Which is it? What does he promise? Well, Pastor read earlier at the start of the service that Jesus would be the one who would save his people from their sins. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, "She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." While Saul, he could only deliver them from the Philistines for a short period of time. That was his goal. That was his mission. But here was born a Savior that would save his people from their sins. And that is the heart of all our issues. Why is the world in the state it is? It is because of our sin. It is because of the fall that took place in Genesis chapter 3. Why is there evil in this world? Well, it is because God's perfect and holy creation was cursed on that day, came under a curse that day because of mankind's rebellion against him. But now here comes a Savior. A Savior that would come to undo, and not only undo, but to recreate the creation to make it perfect and blameless and holy once again. And that would begin with each individual's heart, by changing that heart, by calling them out to the spiritual darkness of this world, by calling them out of slavery to Satan and his devices, and drawing them to himself. This would be the Savior. He demonstrated this by his authority over creation, that he has authority to command creation what it ought to do. He demonstrated that he is able to do this by commanding demons to come out of various demon-possessed individuals. He showed that he has authority over Satan, that Satan cannot defeat him. He shows us by healing people of their diseases, showing that he is able to undo the effects of the fall in individuals' lives. He is the Savior that has come to save this hopeless world. He is the one that promises that he is able to bring about a new heavens and new earth through his work. He is the one that is able to guarantee us an inheritance in this new heaven, in this new earth, if we trust in him for the forgiveness of our sins. He is the Savior of this world. But who is he? Well, he is Christ the Lord. There's the Savior who is Christ the Lord. And Christ means Messiah, Christ is the Greek language, and then Messiah is the Hebrew language. But Messiah means anointed one. Saul was anointed. He was anointed by Samuel to be the king over Israel for that period, to deliver them from the Philistines. But now Christ who is the Lord, which we'll examine in a moment, was anointed by the Holy Spirit in order to bring about the salvation of this world. Notice at Jesus' baptism, how the Holy Spirit came upon him, and there at that moment he began his task of bringing about the salvation of this world. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit, just as Saul in the Old Testament was anointed, was filled with the Spirit in order to bring about his task of saving Israel. But Jesus is Christ. He is the Messiah, the one that brings the final deliverance. But who is this anointed one? It is the Lord. It is the Lord. Look at verse 9. It says, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them." Now, if we consider our Old Testament, we often are encountered with appearances of angels of the Lord or the angel of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, we'll note that that's always in the capitalized form, with capital Lord. And that is to signify the name Yahweh. These angels were angels, messengers of Yahweh, the only true God. And so when it says an angel of the Lord, it is not just saying an angel of, it is not saying it's an angel of some other Lord, but it is saying it is the angel of Yahweh. It is an angel that has come from Yahweh. And the glory of the Lord is also likewise the glory of Yahweh, the only true God. And so when it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, it is saying that Yahweh, your God, has come into this world to be your Savior. He himself, the God whom you worship, the God whom you fear, has taken upon himself a real human body, a real human will, a real human desires, has come into this world to bring about salvation. And that is the wonder and the marvel of Christmas, that God, the creator of everything, entered into this world to bring about salvation for his people. God, who created this world, God against whom we had sinned, God against whom we had rebelled, God against, to whom we are accountable and will be judged for our sins, he, the Lord, Yahweh, had come into this world. Our God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so the Son had been anointed by the Father, sent by the Father into this world to be the Christ, to be the Savior of his people. And so we see that these shepherds hear this, and they witness again, not only one angel, but many angels praising God and saying glory to God in the highest. And when the angels disappear, they said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And so this evening, have you gone to Bethlehem? Not in a literal sense, but have you gone to examine this? Have you considered the claims of Christ? Have you considered the claim that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior of this world, that he is Christ the Lord? Have you gone over to examine these things to see if they are as it has been told? Have you examined what the Lord has made known to us? You see, they went and with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And they knew it was precisely as what the angel had already told them in verse 12. And so they were convinced in this moment that this truly is this Savior, this Christ who is the Lord. And so they told them, all those that were present there, and they heard, and those who were there, they heard it and wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So this evening, do you know this Savior? Do you still seek another Savior to deliver you? Or perhaps we need to start with asking, what are you seeking deliverance from? If you seek to be delivered from financial woes, physical woes, these sorts of things, Jesus Christ does not promise us that. We can still suffer financial woes. We can still suffer sufferings of the physical, of our bodies, and eventually death. Indeed, all of us will, lest he returns. However, he does promise the salvation of our souls. He promises us the forgiveness of our sins, because he is born into this world so that he could come, seek us, save us from our sins, and bring us into his kingdom one day. He did this through the suffering that he endured on that cross. He was born, the eternal Son of God, took on flesh so that he could suffer for our sins, so that he could be one of us, not according to our sinfulness, but according to our real human nature, so that he could suffer for us and thus save us from our sins. That is how he is our Savior. Not glamorous, not glorious, but rather a cruel, humble, humiliating death on that cross. Have you gone over to examine this, like the shepherds? Have you gone over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened? And if you have gone, if you have examined, do you believe this? Have you found it to be as the Lord has made known to us? Or do you think that is there a part of your heart that has reservations, that does not believe, that has doubts over the truth of God's revelation to us? And if you have gone, and if you have believed, how ought we to respond? Well, verse 20, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. That is the only appropriate response that we have to this news of Jesus Christ's birth into this world. Praising God for all they had seen and heard, glorifying Him. And that is why we are here this evening, to glorify God, to praise Him for this mighty act of deliverance He has brought about in Jesus Christ, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So let us continue this evening. Let our hearts be stirred up to glorify and praise God for His great deliverance through His Son, to save us from our sins, to pay the price that we owed to God, to deliver us out of the bonds of our sin, to deliver us into out of darkness, out of Satan's kingdom, into His glorious kingdom. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank You for this evening. We thank You, Lord, for the deliverance that Christ has brought, that He is a Savior, that He is the one that You, O God, have chosen, have anointed, have sent for this purpose, and that He is the Lord, that He is God incarnate, the Son of God become flesh. And so, Lord God, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You that He has come to pay the price, Lord, that we could not praise, to deliver us from our sins, to save us from this cruel and wicked world. Thank You for the hope we have in Him, the hope of eternal life. Thank You that we know that He is not like the political messiahs of this world that cannot deliver on their promises, or the promises that perhaps the medical profession might have of delivering us from death, yet it cannot. Or perhaps the deliverance that finances perhaps promise. They promise to keep us carefree and away from all the problems of life, yet they cannot. But Jesus Christ, He gives us forgiveness of sins. He brings us into the family of God. He grants us eternal life. He gives us a kingdom that shall never end and an inheritance in that new heaven and new earth for all eternity in Your presence. And we thank You for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, it's been a wonderful evening in the Lord's Day like this, worshiping in song. And I hope that we're going to leave this place just thinking about Christ, the Lord our God, the King, the Savior of this world. Even in the words of the angels, who said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Let's just receive God's blessing through the benediction now, and then afterwards, please join us for a cup of tea or coffee and something to eat. Let's pray. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.